Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows and tell.
It's like kind of not the right.
That's not the right.
Sure, it's okay. No. It's fun. We're leaving this in. Wait. Let me skip. Is this it? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. That's yes. That's exactly what I meant. Nice. Oh, it hits. Every time it hits. Oh, beautiful, Reese. We love a fade. We love a fade. Hello, everybody. My name is Talia.
I'm Julia.
I'm Reese.
And this is Shows and Tell, the podcast where we talk about how your favorite show became your favorite show. And today we are doing the, I don't have any, well, I mean, I'll get to my stats, but I would say the top show on everyone's mind of 2022, Euphoria. That is what we're doing. And I know you've all come with your ears open wide, ready to learn some facts, some tea, some statistics. We are going to talk about it all, and we're very excited. First, I'm going to ask you guys how you're doing.
I could be better. just a lot going on in my life right now, a lot of moving parts, but it's good. I'm going to LA on Sunday. Reese is going to be there too. Maybe we'll see. Will we hang out? I don't know.
Get a cheeky little cup of coffee?
Maybe.
In the sunshine?
I can't imagine Reese in the sunshine. Like, I just imagine Reese with, like...
I hate it.
...cloud over his head, like...
There's nothing that makes me happier than when it's either cold or rainy in LA. Because everyone looks miserable, and I'm like, idiots. It's so nice.
That's, like, fair.
No, it's awesome. And, like, I've only gone to LA twice. And both times I went, the first time I went, it rained. The second time I went, there was, like, a day where it was, like, 40. And I was like... Everyone was so upset. It was awesome.
Best trip of my life.
Yeah. Oh man. Cool. But yeah, I'll also be back in LA. So I was gone for 2 weeks for work. I'm back for literally a week, and then I go straight back to LA for work once more.
He's busy and booked. #Hashtag.
Can't stop, won't stop. #girlboss. #live, laugh, love. #fun with friends.
#Can you wire me the money?
#like for like. #like for a TBH.
If I was listening, I would turn this off.
No. People are eating this up.
I don't know if they are.
I don't know.
Guys, I realized that I texted you guys like a month ago, and I was like, I have something funny to say, but I want to say it on the pod. And then we recorded Yellow Jackets, and I forgot to tell you. It's just really funny and quick. Basically, legitimately, like, a month ago or a month and a half ago, I always check, please, if you are listening to this, go right now to Apple Podcasts and leave us a written review. Rate 5 stars and then leave us a written review and subscribe, obviously. And I always check, there's like 16 reviews, so I always check them. And I go and I check it, and the latest one says, "This is so good, take me to your beach house." And it says it's
it says it's
by the user trying to become their king. And so I'm like reading and I'm thinking and like I'm just like, what? Because I do unfortunately have a beach house, as we know. And I'm just like, what is going on? And I realized, and then I was like, holy fuck. And like it just came to me at, like, in an instant. On Hinge, my prompts, actually just changed them, but my prompts were about the podcast and like follow the pod, like at Shows and Tell Pod, and I have a beach house. But I have legitimately no idea who it is.
So someone from...
But you think a Hinge suitor left us a review?
Wait, that's awesome. Wait, that's such a good way to get your attention. And like not like a weird way.
Okay, fine. But how am I supposed to contact that person?
I don't know.
We didn't match.
That's on you then.
That's not on me.
That means he saw your stuff, liked you, and then
liked me and I X'd out.
Yeah, which is like, damn, I feel bad for said person because...
Okay, well, I can't, like, just be dating every fan that comes across, you know. There's a lot that come knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knock.
That's fun.
But that was the funny thing that I wanted to share with you guys.
No, that's pretty good. I feel
like not as big as you probably thought.
No,
that's really funny. I would have never expected.
No, it's not nearly as big as I was hoping, but it lived up to, it is very funny. And it's very creative.
No, it's totally creative. And the username being trying to become their king. Like, I guess my king, but you're not going to like that. Listen, if you're listening, my DM, like my Instagram handle is Talia, at Talia Raymer. Like, T-A-L-I-R-A-M-E-R. Like, the DMs are open. So.
Oh, shit.
But I probably did already reject you once.
Uh-oh.
Sad.
Hey, but if there's anything we could learn from Euphoria, it's that even if you get left at a train station, you could still kiss at the New Year's party. Like, so, you know, even if you get rejected by Talia, there's a chance at a New Year's party.
The train station.
That's what she said in the episode. She said that Jules left her at a train station.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, for some reason, look who knows the show now.
Well, for some reason, I was thinking of like Cassie and Nate, and I was like, well, that's not what happened.
No.
I was just getting like my storylines crossed, which is a great thing to do at the beginning of the episode. But anywho, we are very excited to be talking about Euphoria today. I will give you guys, whoever is listening at home, a little background about the show. Euphoria follows a group of high school students as they navigate love, friendship, in a world of drug, sex, trauma, and social media. And it is written and created by Sam Levinson, starring Zendaya, Jacob Elordi, Hunter Schaefer, Maude Apatow, Sydney Sweeney, Alexa Demi, Barbie Ferrara, Angus Cloud, and the list goes on. And season
King
two,
and Queens.
Kings and Royalty, Kings and Queens. And that's the show that we're talking about. And it's a big one, guys. It's definitely a big one. Dare I say one of the biggest that we've tackled. And I will begin by telling you guys, I watched the first season, summer of 2019, when the three of us were united for the first time at Wonderama, at our internship, and I watched it. And I'm pretty sure that I binged it. I don't think I watched it week by week. I mean, it was great. It was not like as colossally gigantic culturally as it was now, but it was like definitely in the conversation.
No, it was big then. Like,
yeah. It was big. It was like,
I remember we talked about it at Wonderama.
I'm sure that we did.
The space in which people talk about TV has changed. So like, it was big then, but like TV is even bigger now.
Could not agree more. And we're going to chat about that too. So yeah, I have a history. I mean, I watched it week by week this time. I've been waiting up for it to come back. So I'm curious to hear both your takes. Let's try to keep things positive, light, because it's such a light show.
You know how we always are. Always positive. I too watched it the summer of 2019. Honestly, I don't even know if I finished it. I remember liking it a lot, but I don't remember finishing it. I guess I did, because when season two came out, like, I was excited to watch, but I didn't realize how many people were going to be watching. So when I started seeing so many TikToks about it, so I was like a week behind. So I rewatched all of season one because I couldn't remember anything that happened in it, because the season two came out a year and a half later. So I rewatched all of season one just now, and then watched season two as it came out. And I love the weekly release. I'm a big fan of Euphoria. I wouldn't say it's my favorite show, but I loved looking forward to it on Sundays. I have to say, I didn't love how the season ended. Wanting more. I mean, I think most people were left wanting more, but love the show, love the cast, love the characters.
She was engaged, guys, and you know it takes a lot for Julia to be engaged.
That's true.
Reese?
Phone level pretty low.
Phone level was low. Thanks, Tanks.
Nice. Yeah, so, I mean, it's always been on my periphery. Like, when season one came out, it was the craze. And I'm just never, and I never have been, and I genuinely think I never will be a fan of shows or movies where drugs are at the core.
Very fair.
I just, yeah, it's just like not my cup of tea. Like I hate every single show or movie that has like a drug sequence where it's just like, oh, the camera whips and it's like, we're supposed to be in their headspace. I'm like, I get it. Yeah. I get why people like it. And I understand why it's important for it to be featured in stories. But I honestly just don't enjoy watching that stuff. Like, it's the same thing with like cannibalism, where it's like some people just like, I don't want to think about that.
On the forefront of the mind, these past few weeks.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, that's just something like some people are like, oh, I'm sure it's good. I just don't want to watch. Same thing with me and Euphoria, where it's like, I was like, everyone would tell me season one, like, you know, it's drugs and there's like Rue gets high and then like the camera turns and it's like, so I had no desire to watch it. Season two rolls around and it's all everyone is talking about. And I get more and more curious, but I'm already like, I'm busy. So it's like, I can't just start season one and watch it all the way through and catch up for season two. So like, I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to like pass on this season. And like, you know, wait, and like, maybe I'll end up watching it over the course of like the next 2 years, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing that you knew what happened the whole time.
Yes, but the entire time I'm from TikTok, from Twitter, from Instagram, I'm getting storylines updated. I know all the inside jokes. Like I genuinely get the show. And I am apprehensive to like it because Sam Levinson, is an interesting figure and I'm sure you'll touch on him. Yeah, right off the bat, I don't always like directors who are just nepotism babies.
Yeah.
And his dad is an Academy Award winning, like, and I don't know. I have some objections to him. But that being said, watching this was this is the first time I've ever seen anything Euphoria. Season two, episode one, pretty good. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, I was expecting to not like it just based on my preconceived notions of him. And also just like a lot of the shit I've been hearing about the show where it's like season two drops some storylines and brings stuff up and then doesn't address them. But like from the small snippet I watch, which is literally one episode from season two, I was like, concise. It juggled the storylines well. It kept me engaged. The camera work was super fun. The party scene was like choreographed well. No complaints. Season two, episode one, I'm a fan. That being said, No. I mean, like, the drug scenes were not, like, yeah, like, they were, like, you know, there was a lot of it. And, like, there's, obviously, I have problems with, like, some of it felt very much, like, overacting, where I was just, like, okay, this is, like, people playing dress-up. Mm-hmm. But I think the party sequence was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my little spiel to start.
Cool. Great spiel. I'll say, like, at the end, I remember the first time watching that episode, and I think that it just ended, and I feel like my jaw was, like, on the floor. And I was like, that was good. Like, that was really fucking good. That was really, it's really captivating. I don't like watching the drug sequences. They're very tough to watch. And obviously, in that first episode, I just found myself incredibly frustrated with Rue, and the whole point is that she's the narrator, and it's very tough to be like grappling with a main character. So I'm glad that I could like hear both of your opinions on the show. Not surprised that Julia enjoyed and Reese for the most part.
Yeah. Oh, can I say one quick thing about it before we move on?
Well, I didn't say I didn't enjoy it.
No, you're right. But I feel like for the most part, there were some moans and groans last week when we said we were going to do it.
And it goes back to stuff that I haven't seen where it's like from Twitter and like from like film critics, just hearing the way that like storylines get dropped. And once again, I haven't watched the full season, so I don't know what gets dropped and I don't know which characters are like completely changed. But from literally just the one episode I saw, I like it.
Okay, cool. Great.
One thing I have to say is I really like the way that season one is structured. So,
yes,
for context, every episode of season one is focused around a different character and their storyline and their background. So I think Jules is one of the first episodes and it goes into like her childhood and then it kind of catches up to her storyline now with Nate's dad and all this stuff. But I think it gives really good context to all the characters, and it's super just engaging, fast-paced, yeah. And I think that's really what drew everyone in. I mean, it kind of drew me in. And then season two, I feel like, tried to have more storyline, less characters, but I don't know.
But then it ended up going all over the place. So it was just, it was not as tangible. The first season was very, like, you know, this episode's going to be about Nate and we're going to understand who he is. I mean, you never understand who he is, but like, you know, that episode is that. And I completely agree. Like, the plot lines and the storylines were just very much, while it was gorgeous, they were just very much Oliver in the second season. So I'll say that, like, I think when talking about this show, the first thing to discuss is the culture and, like, the literal chokehold that it has had around mainstream media, the greater Gen Z. So I'll include, like, younger millennials in that, and just, like, the pop culture sphere, every single social media platform. Just a chokehold that I feel like, although, yes, in the discussion in 2019 in the summer in season one, this was definitely bigger. And of course, I believe that it's, like, because of the weekly release, which, like, we have talked about a couple of times now, like, you know, you have an episode and then the next, the whole entire week, like, your whole social media, all the TikTok trends, everything is just, like, centered around what happened in that episode. And you can make, like, very niche specific TikToks.
You're confused. Just, like, I'm fucking confused, bro. Oh my God. I love that sound so much. And, like, right now, are you guys getting, like, they just made a Faye filter? So I'm getting a bunch of who's Jewel?
Yeah.
And it's just like the girl with, like, funny. Who's Jewel? Oh, man. Yeah, no, the TikTok side of Euphoria, once again, it does the show justice. It's hysterical and also explains the plot in such a fun way.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think season one, what really had us was the fashion and the makeup.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the music.
Oh my God, the makeup. Every single Halloween costume that year was just people and it looked good. People flaunting the eye makeup. Great. Yeah.
Every single one. So
and everyone did the Halloween thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Everybody dressed up
as the girls dressed up as,
as at Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, also, my God. I actually read something interesting about how they purposefully toned down the makeup and in this season. Like, they purposely did that, and none of the characters wore foundation because they wanted it to seem, and also the way that they did Cassie's makeup in this season, in season two, they made it a mix of Jules and Maddie.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Right. Because that Cassie is who Nate is going for in this season, and, like, Maddie and Jules are kind of, like, who he's gone for in the past. That makes a lot of sense. I think the obsession around the makeup and the costumes, and also the music, and Euphoria's score is by English singer and songwriter Labyrinth, and everything that he puts out for the show is just, like, instantly iconic. Like, in the same way that, like, you hear the Succession song and you know that it's Succession, like, you hear two beats of any song that has been on Euphoria, and that's, like, not just one song, it's, like, multiple. Like, there's, like, Nate's Growing Up theme song, which, oh, I love that one so much.
Yeah, that one's so good.
Also, on the topic of music, I don't understand. They had, like, 9, like, absolute banger soundtrack songs, like, down the line, Dirty Work, like, they had DMX, wait, what was the ending credit song? That one was a big one too, of this episode. It was another big song because it, like, it went to black, and I was like, "They're just playing, like,
they're all huge.
They're just playing Reese's Shuffle," and I was like, "There's that's got to be like $10 million."
In the car scene with Cassie and Nate, and he plays that Orville Peck song.
Yeah, and the Orville Peck, he's a big name too. Like, Jesus Christ.
Everyone on the internet was like, yeah, fuck. I'm sure that, like, Nate Jacobs played Orville Peck. Like, no, he knew what he was doing when he got Cassie in there and he made her feel like he was in a fucking movie. She was in a movie. And I loved that commentary. So my point is, like, you have this very long 2.5 year buildup of this show that, like, only already lasted for 8 episodes, but was incredibly impactful. And you have all these things that, like, already go with it. And then you pair that with weekly release and all of the social media, and you just get legitimately HBO's second biggest show after Game of Thrones. Different. We already did that.
So good. Also, wait, the ending song is I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. A banger.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the music is probably in the top two things that make the show good.
Yeah. I mean, I think makeup and music, we could definitely say that.
I was jamming.
And this show also is the most tweeted show of this decade with over 30 million tweets. I'll say, obviously, the decade's only lasted for 2.5 years, but still, that's a big title. Not surprised. And it's big. Like, there was just nowhere to hide. It just was every single, like, it was like this 8-week period of every single TikTok on my For You page.
And I have to say, for how graphic it is, I was a little surprised.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me when I hear somebody who is in, like, the mainstream pop culture conversation that doesn't watch Euphoria. I'm like, it's weird to me that, like, even if you're not a TV person, I feel like if you're, like, in the conversation constantly, then you're going to be watching the show. But they're like, no, it's actually so graphic. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is. I think we all endure a lot because we love the show and want to be in the conversation. But it's super graphic. That fight scene at the end with Nate and Fez was incredibly graphic. There's a lot of nudity. There's a lot of just, like, flaccid penises. That's not the most pleasant thing in the entire world.
I do respect that it's not, because I've heard so much about the female nudity. So I was just expecting it was going to be a case of where it's, like, no male nudity.
No. Yeah. No,
I, like, nudity. I'm glad that it's even, but also I don't think any of the nudity in this episode was necessary at all. It did not do anything for the story. Like, legitimately nothing. Like, it's, I understand nudity is sometimes needed where it can be, like, in the movie Witness, for example. Like, there's only one scene where someone's naked in the movie, and it's, like, it's jarring because it, like, it works where it's, like, this person is Amish and we have never seen them, you know, but for this, it just...
I actually have something to say about the Amish. The girl who plays, the girl who plays, fuck, why am I not remembering her name now? Who's the girl?
If you're going to derail, it better be for something good.
No.
I was going to say, if you're derailing, like,
for the Amish. It's actually, no, who's the girl that was the porn star?
Chloe Cherry.
Yeah, she was Amish.
Oh.
She was raised Amish.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Okay, that's a pretty good derail. It would have been better had it been quicker.
So that was a great derail.
Yeah. That was like, we derailed. It took 2 hours to fix the train, but we're back on track.
But the mechanic came.
She had a really interesting interview where basically, like, she was Amish, like, left when she was 18, became a porn star, and then Sam Levinson, like, discovered her because she played, like, Rue, or not Rue, Jules, in, like,
in a Euphoria.
False. That is false.
Oh, really?
Yes, because this was, no. Because that was a big thing after.
Wait, I also read an article today that said that.
No. She came out and said that she did the pornography after she had filmed. So it was not like
kidding.
So you could look it up.
So she did it, but he didn't discover her that way.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like she recorded it after she had filmed Euphoria because she thought it was like a funny tie-in. And it's not like he discovered her because the timeline... Yeah, because when this was when all the shit about him was coming out. But then, like, people were fact-checking and were like, actually, that one is not true.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that clarification. That's, like, almost funnier, I find. That's funnier to me, actually.
Yeah.
That it came out.
So, yeah, like, she starred in Euphoria and then made a Euphoria-themed.
Euphoria porn and Playgirls.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's so funny.
That, yeah. Honestly, that might make the story better.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
That's actually hysterical. I think this is a really good place to segue into just kind of talking about Sam Levinson. I will say that when we watched the first time, I really didn't know that it was this like soul creator. I just didn't know about him. And I feel like a lot of the controversy was not discussed and the opinions on him weren't really discussed. And then all of a sudden it's like 1 week leading up to the show and 1 week post the first episode of this second season. And then it's like Sam Levinson's name is every other word out of everyone's mouth. So only Sam writes the show. And obviously I don't know if you guys know of any other television show that only one person is in the writer's room. I have never heard of something like this before. I didn't even know that like that existed.
It doesn't happen. That's
very
not
odd to me.
Nope. Does not happen at all.
So obviously since the show is so heavily centered around, I mean, majority women, minorities, I think people are kind of like, so there's this like white dude that's writing about all these women and minority characters. And like, you know, why does he have the authority to do that? I think that's a big commentary. And I was kind of like, I guess I'm not surprised, but Zendaya has commented on this. And she said like, the show couldn't be written by anyone else because it's very personal to Sam Levinson. And it's like stories that were drawn from his life and his upbringing. And therefore, like, he's the only one who can write it. I think that's what was implied. And actually the only other person to get a writing credit on the show was Hunter Schafer, because as we discussed in her episode where we were hearing about her background from her male to female transition, I think that she needed to be in that room to accurately portray what happened. It's great that like she got to do that, but it's also
that.
Yeah, I didn't know either before researching. I think it's great that that happened, but I also think that there were probably a good amount of other storylines that could have happened again. And Rue is actually like some version of a portrayal of Sam and his past experiences with addiction. Also, that was not entirely like at the forefront of my knowledge. He basically said he had an interview with Variety. He said, you know, like his teenage years were in and out of hospitals, rehabs, halfway houses. And I think it seems like he's been clean for 14 years. And when I've been like watching the show, it's very difficult to me because I had a very privileged upbringing. So I wasn't around the types of matters that the show deals with. It just wasn't how my upbringing was. So it's difficult for me to like imagine all this stuff happening to somebody so young, because it's just not something that was in front of my eyes. So then you think, oh my God, like it's so dramatic, it's so over the top, blah, blah, blah. And like, obviously there are so many jokes about Euphoria that are saying like, high schoolers don't act like this, high schoolers don't act like that. And yes, that is true to some degree. But I think for me, hearing the context that Sam Levinson was an addict at an incredibly young age, and he wrote all these things based off of his experiences, of course, it's television, it's HBO, it's designed to be dramatized. I think that helped me like understand the show and the rating a little bit, just like learning about that, because it's just not something that I knew before.
But even may I
yeah
I was just gonna say, like, even so, like, you know, like, obviously you write from what you know, but that doesn't mean that no one else should be assisting, because
completely agree with you,
there's no one person that is like George R.R. Martin. He is the creator of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
He hires people who, like, are George R.R. Martin researchers to help him write, because they know storylines that, like, he's created but just needs refreshers, and, like, they keep him on track. Every show, every movie goes through passes, and it's like, yes, once again, I understand it's personal to you, but when a show suffers or when stories suffer because you're not willing to give that up, no one benefits.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, something. And it's the same.
Yeah. It could be a PR move too. like, we're all talking about it. You know what I mean? And I'm saying, I don't know if this has ever been done. And you're like, it's never been done.
It's not supposed to be. Yeah, no, like, that's not how, like, and it goes back to, and I know you're going to touch on it, like, the production, where it's mm-hmm. like, there needs to be planning. Like, I understand there's nothing people eat up more than it's like, oh, this was improvised by the actors on set. They didn't know what they were going to say. And it's so cool. And it's like so off the cuff. And it's like, yes, those are fun, but they're fun when they're circumstantial. Like from what I'm hearing and like, it, like, am I good to like kind of transition as we're talking about Sam to like the production stuff?
Yeah, totally. My only other commentary on him was what you already said about his dad, that he is like a nepotism baby.
Yeah, like his dad's a Academy Award winning, like an idol in Hollywood. So it's like, there's
that. Have you guys seen all the talks that are like, I love when nepotism babies are in like a late night interview and they're like, acting something I just kind of fell into. Yeah. I love,
one of my favorites is the Zoe Kravitz interview where they were like, how did you get started? And she was like, you know who my parents are, right? Like, yeah, but yeah, going back to the production where it's like, I heard they would like go to set and like a shot list wasn't planned out or like, that's insane. Like, that's not like, and I understand it's like, oh, like you have to feel the, and it's like, yes, decisions can be made in like the spur of the moment, but.
Reese, can you explain, because I also read about this, but can you explain to everybody kind of like what that entails, a shot list, and
so,
what
it means? Yeah, sure thing. So like for production, like anytime something's filmed, the director works hand in hand with the DP, the director of photography, to show how it's going to be filmed. So there's staging practicing where it's like, oh, Cassie is going to interact with Nate in this scene. So we're going to put them on this side of the room. The camera will be here. And then because of the fact that we're going to have to cut to a different angle, we'll redo the scene, but we're going to put the camera over here. And so like in TV production and film production, you go through stages of like literally rehearsals where it's like you're staging you in a room, like, and then there's blocking where it's like literally finding where the extras are going to walk and like where the camera's going to sit and where the movements are going to happen and how many times they're going to do it. And that's super important because even with everything like being planned to a T, you're going 12 plus hours on that because you have to reset. Like if you're doing a party scene with 80 extras and you have to make 8 passes of the camera, like everyone's resetting. There's so much in between time. You know, like things come up. Actors will have to take a break. You know, lunch. And then like when you go to lunch, everyone loses their marks. Everyone has to reset. And my job, like on productions and people who work in productions, their lives are made hell when people at the top don't do planning. So when I heard that he's going in with no plan, that really fucking pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, yes, it's like, it's very artistic and it's very like, I'll see it. I'll know it when I see it.
No.
But everyone else suffers. And like, you know, people could say, oh, but you have to suffer for art. And it's like, not if you're just trying to make ends meet. And it's like, this is one person's creative vision. If they want to suffer, that's fine. But not everyone on this production should be happy to be there to suffer with them. That's not how shows and movies are made. As much as people like to glorify like the art, that doesn't justify a lack of planning for the sake of being a quote-unquote artist.
Yes.
Yeah, and it hits like the junior people the hardest, like,
yeah. Sorry for getting a little angry, but
No, I appreciate your passion.
You're passionate.
And I was reading about that, and I'm glad that you explained it to everybody because, it's important to talk about. There are a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's one thing that it's like, you know, one guy, but like on these productions, there's just so many people that
they're literally it's always hundreds of people,
and it's always like the youngest, most vulnerable people that end up taken advantage of the most. So
totally.
Yeah, and it's not even like, and sometimes it's even people that are higher up than that, but it once again goes back to the people who are making the most money are not the ones suffering, and it's the people who are making the most money who are the cause of said suffering. I've worked on productions where people don't have their shit together, and it ruins, like, literally weeks of my life where I don't have free time. Where, like, yeah. I would wake up, go to work, come back, sleep for 3 hours, and then have to go back because someone just didn't do their job. And it's like, once again, it's not me not doing my job. It's someone who is digits of a pay grade. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it, totally. That really grinds my, that's my, that is my, what's
is that
it
your,
called?
Grievance of the week?
That's my grievance of the week.
Okay, good. He's like, guys, he's like red in the face.
I'm like, it really fucking pisses me off.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I had other tidbits about the production. I think that they kind of just mirror that. Production in general, obviously, was tense. And specifically about, like, that party scene that we were all talking about. There was an interview that Jacob Elordi, Maude Apatow, and Sydney Sweeney were talking about, like, shooting that. And Jacob Elordi basically said something along the lines of, like, it was kind of the party from hell that just, like, never ends, that you, like, don't want to be at. Because, you know, they were shooting all night from 6 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Night shoots. Like, right. I've had to do that, like, for, okay. And, like, that's good that they have that in one set week. It'd be insane if they're not doing it all at once. So mm-hmm.
I think it seemed like with all the extras, there were a couple, like, SAG-AFTRA complaints about, like, not having, like, time for meals and not letting people use the bathroom and, like, not having proper holding spaces for extras, and kind of crappy things like that. So
that, yeah, that upsets me.
Yeah, it sucks.
So, like, I was going to say, overnights are the same as regular days where it's like you get your meals, everyone gets their time, everyone should be, there should be sufficient holding space. And also, mm-hmm. if you're listening and you don't know what holding space is, that's literally just
a room.
What's that?
Yeah, I would just assume a room.
It's a room, or if you're outside, it's a tent where, yeah. like, when you're not filming or not, like, set up for a shot, you just sit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of, like, how it was on set. I mean, it seems like the cast is, like, very close, and they all have positive relationships with one another, which is great. At least, like, that we know.
And now Dominic Fike and Hunter Schaefer are dating.
Yes, and now Dominic Fike.
Which I love! And I love Dominic Fike.
Was Dominic yes. Fike in season one or no?
No, he was only in season two.
He's a famous singer.
No, I knew that. I just wasn't sure.
The Motel, no, he wasn't in Serenade Us. No, he wasn't in season one. And I think that was his acting debut.
I liked his character. And I really liked...
I liked a lot.
Him and so Rue had a very funny scene that they shared. I liked that a lot.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about, like, plot lines in this season going all over the place. I think the number one thing that comes to people's mind when they think about that is Kat's plot line. She had a huge part in season one. One of those episodes, like we discussed, was entirely hers. She had a really great backstory about her just, like, having a boyfriend, and then she goes on vacation and she drinks, like, 25 pina coladas and gets, like, kind of chubby, and the boyfriend dumps her. And I'm going to talk about something else with Kat's backstory in a minute. But, and then she just discovers, like, webcamming and just becomes this, like, girl boss that, like, scams, like, gross men out of, like, so much money, and basically becomes, like, a sugar baby, but, like, in a, like, dominant way.
A dominatrix?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
yeah,
that word really just rolled off your tongue, Reese.
That's what it's called, a dominatrix. It's like, literally, oh no, there's like women who will get paid by men to, like, degrade them.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm joking. I know, I'm just trying to put you in a corner.
Oh no.
So obviously, like, when we came in and, like, I heard hints of, like, the Nate and Cassie of it all. And, like, I'm like, oh, my God, like, what's going to happen to Kat? Like, she finally, at the end of the season, got together with Ethan, this, like, sweet, like, skinny boy who's just, like, loved her the entire first season. And they just, like, the entire first episode, like, Kat's only, like, what hurt. She has one line and it's like, yeah, Jules, let's get fucked up. Like, right? Like,
I was going to, if you hadn't told me this, I would have assumed she was just, like, a reoccurring character.
Oh my gosh.
No, she was fully one of the main characters.
Oh yeah, no, just
she
from
was a huge character.
Just from episode one, she seemed like her, like she had like
and
her
a fan favorite, which is like so
really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like in episode one, she just felt like a story motivator
like
where
more
she'd be like,
Cassie, more
what
than
you,
Lexi. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Also, her as an actress has an interesting backstory. She was like an American Apparel model, like was really famous on Tumblr in like 2014. And this is, I think, also her acting debut.
Interesting. But yeah, no, I assume she was just like a story progressor where she asks people like, what do you feel about this? And then they go off and answer.
So I think after that happened, a lot of discussion began and it was like, what's up? Where is Kat? Like, why did we get nothing from her this episode? There are rumors that Barbie allegedly walked off set, like after an argument with her and Sam, and that resulted in her screen time being cut. Rumors. I'm saying rumors. Oh. The thing is
what
that
was the argument? Do you know what the argument was about or is that?
That's what I know. That is what I know. Gotcha. The thing is that she didn't really deny the rumors. She acknowledged them in a very like PR approved, like vague statements, like type of way, which in my media mind, I feel that that sometimes confirms things. That's just how I interpret. And we really like, I would say that one of the biggest plot holes is her. Like just, there were a lot of things that were touched on in the first season and they're completely let go. And then there's this scene in the hot tub that like they're all of them are arguing, all the characters, and it's a few episodes later, Reese, and Nate says to her like, do you even have like a mind of your own? And I was like, whoa, that's like a little too, because she's basically just copying everything that Maddie's saying, or like agreeing with everything Maddie's saying. And I was like, whoa, that's a little too like meta for me right now.
Oh, gotcha.
I didn't like it. I was like, I don't like that. I feel like that's like having a secret language with the audience or something that we like shouldn't know about. But there's that. I mean, like, I'm very interested to see if she's picked back up third season. Like, I think if they're smart, they will recognize, like, that the fans have reacted to not having enough time with Kat, and that they'll put her the hell back in the script. If, you know, if they want to, like, listen to people. And that's one. And then the other part of it that has been in the forefront of conversation, obviously, we've talked about the nudity, and there's so much of it, and that's HBO. Like the thing is like Game of Thrones, Girls, Sex and the City-ish, it just has a lot of nudity and a lot of sex, and there was a lot of nudity and a lot of, and actually less sex, more nudity, I would say, in this season. And obviously there's a lot of commentary that like Sydney Sweeney always has her top off. So there was an interview that she did with The Independent in January, and her comments kind of started circulating everywhere, and she said there are moments where Cassie was supposed to be shirtless in certain scenes, like she would read the script beforehand, and she told Sam, I don't think that's really necessary here, and he was like, okay, we don't need it, and she said, like, she never felt like he pushed it on her, or, like, was just trying to get her to do a nude scene for no reason, and, like, when she said she didn't want to do it, he didn't make me. Obviously, I think that, like, when you have an interview, other websites will take kind of just like one sentence from that interview and just like make it the headline. And like, Sydney Sweeney said she didn't need to have this like nudity scene on Euphoria.
That always happens where it's like, you listen to the full 45 seconds and you're like, oh, okay. I honestly think, you know, the Kim K thing that's going around where it's like, you need to work.
Oh yeah. I mean,
if you listen to the full thing, it's not as bad.
No, I love Kim, too.
Nothing's ever as bad when you listen to it in context.
I was going
to
say, like, in context, I was like, oh, okay. Like, this was just, like, her, like, being motivational. It wasn't, like, her calling out the working class, which is how everyone is.
And also, like, if you've listened to any interview with Kim, she's really all about helping little guy. Whatever.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, where it's like, yeah, people will take whatever snippet and run with it.
Of course. Totally. So yeah, and then, you know, a few months later, she had to go to Teen Vogue and be like, I never asked him to cut scenes. Like, basically, she was just saying, like, if they were discussing it, she would say, like, I don't think this is necessary for the character, or I do think this is necessary for the character. And sometimes it is necessary for Cassie to be a little naked, because Cassie is, like, a naked person that, like, wears all of her dumb little emotions on her sleeve and is very emotionally reactive.
I was gonna say in the bathroom scene, in the bathroom scene with Nate, it kind of made sense because I was like, oh, she is like completely vulnerable right now.
Yeah,
and it's like exactly. I was like, oh my god, put your fucking shirt on, like,
yeah, exactly.
Like Maddie's knocking on the door, but like,
yeah, and she's crying already and she's topless. Like,
I was gonna say,
it's not like,
yeah, but like the other. I don't know. It didn't feel like the...
There are plenty of times that it's for shock. Not just her. That, like, okay. Everything is for shock value. Plenty of times that I feel it's unnecessary. But I think it's helpful to, like, know that, like, she didn't actually say that. And she's never come out right and said anything that she's been uncomfortable on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, like, no one's been forced to do... Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously going to be talked about if it's there.
Yeah.
You know? And like then obviously you have Zendaya that never gets naked. So obviously that's gonna get talked about. So yeah. So we have that. And the last scandal that I will touch on, and I will be incredibly quick because I think it's only interesting to me. Obviously, if you guys ever listen to the podcast, you'll know that I'm a big One Direction Harry Styles girly. In the first season, when they were doing Kat's backstory, they explain that Kat first got, and that's really interesting to know that Barbie was a big Tumblr girl because they explained that Kat first got her mojo and her confidence because she would write One Direction fan fiction and it would go viral on Tumblr.
That's funny.
So there was a sexual cartoon that played on Euphoria of Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson, which in the One Direction fandom, there is a theory that they had like a romantic sexual relationship while they were in the band, which like I think Louis commented on it and Harry never has, but they've denied it. And it was like a long like cartoon but like sexual clip.
Yeah.
And so Louis commented on it and was like, I
oh my god,
I definitely heard about this. It was
yes, like in the okay TV. I remember this was like a big thing a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot that was from Euphoria. I thought that was just like existed and no. Okay.
As a One Direction fan and as somebody who,
spoiler, I remember this.
I read a shit ton of fan fiction, like to like watch that.
Wait, were you a Wattpad girl?
No, I read from different websites, which I won't share with on the podcast.
I've never read.
I was a big One Direction fan, but I was never into fan fiction.
I've never read fan fiction of any kind. I'm like honestly kind of curious.
Actually, lately I've been thinking that like I should pick it back up. So we can read something together, Reese.
Wait, are you writing fan fiction?
No, I could, but I will. I would. No, I'm saying like I read it again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, send me a link. I just want to know what the deal is.
It's like Harry looked at me.
No, I just need to read it. Like I don't want it to be spoken worded to me. No, thank you.
Oh guys, I could say so much.
Our next episode is just Talia reading
One Direction fan fiction. I will say that like as a fan and like that was, it was like they reached deep into my brain and like put something on a screen. It was like very creepy. And Harry never commented on it, but Louis was not happy and made that known, on Twitter. So, and now obviously like One Direction fans are very fiery. So they were like, fuck Euphoria, like blah, 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 blah. I have a few fun facts. Do you guys have any commentary or anything?
Yes. One other random fun little thing that I love about the show is, I think it's in season one, there's this scene where Rue's depressed and she can't get out of bed. And she's like, all I did today was watch like two seasons of Love Island, which I love that they reference Love Island. And it's an SNT show. And if you know Love Island, the seasons are like 50 episodes long. So
yeah.
I love that they reference it. Anyway, it's just, I think it's fun.
No, I love it. It's speaking to our generation. Like they're capturing us. That's the point.
Yeah. I think that's another reason why Gen Z loves it is like they reference these niche things that just, you know, any person wouldn't know. Like it's the opposite of evergreen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's super
niche.
Yeah. It's like niche and timely.
Right, Reese? Niche?
I mean, I would say, like, Juge, I feel like the word you're looking for is that it, like, I guess it's timely. It's timely.
Yeah, and timely. Yeah,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
Cool. I agree with you, Julia.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. I am going to spit some fun facts at you. How do we feel about that?
Perfect.
I'm ready. Great. I'm ready.
Number one.
Mouth is wide open.
Okay. Sorry, I just opened my mouth. Okay. Number one, Euphoria was an adaptation of an Israeli miniseries of the same name. Did you guys know? And the creators, like, had their hand in this one, too.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, I did know that. I knew that.
Oh, I had no clue.
I did know that, but it's just that one was just, like, funny to me. Number two, Angus Cloud, a.k.a. Fez, was picked up off the streets for his audition while he was, like, simultaneously working in Waffle House. Like, he did not, like, seek out acting in any way, shape, or form. And there are a bunch of, like, TikTok clips going around of, like, him being,
him serving people.
Serving people, like, in the background of, like, some birthday party or something.
Question. I haven't seen what he's like outside of the show. Like, I haven't seen any. Is he, like, his? Is he? Oh, he's the same?
He's like,
yeah.
I didn't even try to get into acting.
So, I was going to say, if he was not like his character, he would be the best actor. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
If he was like, hey guys, like, it was really fun to play this character because he is so good in the show.
Yeah. Like, actually, I feel like most of the actors, except for obviously Zendaya and
are playing themselves.
Apatow, they're not playing themselves, but they're kind of, it's kind of like their acting debut. Like, Jules, Kat.
Alexa Demi, who plays Maddie, and Sydney Sweeney have been in a lot of things. Yeah. We just don't realize.
Yes. No. Yeah. I was going to say.
It's, like, a good mix.
They've, yeah.
Yeah. But I think this is, like, what put them on the map.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked about Hunter Schaefer and Dominic Fike currently dating. Zendaya and Jacob Elordi had a brief, in my opinion, PR relationship, too. And now Jacob just has gone on to just date every little girly, every little girly in the LA world. And what else? Oh, last one that I'll give to you guys that I thought was really funny. Jacob Elordi revealed that the actors are able to select their own prosthetic penises from a selection laid out by the makeup trailer. And then, like, so they'll choose it. So, like, imagine, like, Cal Jacobs, Nate's dad, has a scene where his, like, penis is out for a while. And it's so funny. And just imagine him, like, you know, going to pick out his dick. Like, he's just going to pick it out. And then, like, once they pick it out, the makeup team will, like, I guess, like, I've written down, like, make it look more realistic. I'm guessing, like, attach it to their body and, like, shape it in some way. That's got to be some, like, awkward positioning between the actor and the makeup artist, but that's why they're professionals.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I didn't know that one.
I know that we're going to do the character comparison, but can we do one last fun thing before that?
Yeah.
Can we go around and share our favorite Euphoria TikTok trend, either audio or trend? That's a good one. You could say all the
I have mine.
You could say, like, the Fez, like, Lexi, the Fexy, like, ones. Yeah. But, like, I know my favorite audio.
Yeah.
Well, I know yours because you've said it, like,
no,
five times.
No, it's not that one. Okay. Put your penis away. No.
I knew you were going to say
that. That's what you said, Reese. I think mine that I think is, like, the most underrated is you were recording. Like, not the part of, like, you
know. No,
like,
that one's good. Wait.
No, mine is when
it's
they
like
find
the beginning
out
of the quote.
Or the banging on the door and it's the banging on the bat. That one's so good. Wait, what does he say after it's like, put your dick away? No.
No. He goes, I am.
Put your dick away. I am who I am.
Yeah. Cal, put your penis away. No.
Okay, you know,
Cal,
you know,
I am who I am.
You know who mine is? It's when Rue exposes Cassie for hooking up with Nate in front of Maddie.
Oh, my God. I don't even know why she would say that.
Yeah, she goes, I don't even know why she would say that.
That one's good.
Also,
I love Cassie.
Also,
she's
I'm in love with Nate Jacobs and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's so many good TikTok ideas.
I have to say, I really identified with Cassie a lot this season. And
oh,
maybe
my God, yeah.
Segue into the character comparison.
I was on Miss Cassie's side for a hot minute there. Not on her side, but like a Cassie apologist. And then I flopped because I was like, oh, my God, I can't deal with this anymore. And I'll explain why. I definitely think we should get into the character comparison.
Yeah,
and I like pre-thought about it. And I'll start. And I'll say Julia, and I wrote Maddie.
Oh, I was going to say that from the episode.
That's a compliment.
I'm gonna give her a bit of, well, because I can't give you a full Cassie because you don't simp like that. You just don't.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I was feeling from, once again, from season 2, episode 1, which is all that I know, I was thinking Maddie.
Yeah, because.
Okay, I love
she
that.
She was fun. She was fun in control. Like, she was, like, a little bit of
a
boss.
In a toxic situation and, like, loving it.
Yeah, like, she was just, like, playing around, like, oh, you're cheesy as fuck. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
Can I do you?
Listen, Maddie's who I wish I was. Cassie's who I am deep down.
Yeah, but you're not, I mean, obviously you're not as crazy as either. Yeah, Reese, you can do me.
Okay, from the episode, once again, from season 2, episode 1, I was getting Jules vibes.
I knew you were gonna say that, but she's so Lexi, not
Wait,
Jules.
Guys, I'm the most Lexi little biatch. But the thing is that I'm not socially like outskirts like Lexi.
Well, I was gonna
like,
say Lexi. Like, yeah, Lexi did not
you know
seem
Lexi's play right.
Yes, I know. I've seen all the stuff about that, but from this episode, like she seemed very timid, like very shy, like
yeah.
not.
Once you get into the end of season 2, Lexi, and she's in her girl boss, playwright, like, make really, in the best way, make things about her and the whole relationship with Fez, like, that's me. But,
okay.
But why did you say that, Reese?
Jules?
Yeah.
Oh, she was just like, I don't know. She had, like, good energy. She was partying. She was fun. It just seemed right.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, like, once again, it was only one episode, and I was not going to give you, like, Rue.
No. Jules can be a little annoying.
She seemed pretty chill from the episode. And, like, once again, she seemed like she wasn't taking shit from anyone. Like, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, okay. And also, I didn't think I had anyone, really, that was, like.
So, all I said for you was Ethan, which is like Kat's boyfriend, because he is timid and he has that side to him, but at the end he is the star of Lexi's play and he plays every character.
I've heard that.
Honestly, I kind of agree with that. I
right?
can't really think of anyone else that Reese would be.
Is Ethan like fun or is he like okay?
Yeah. He's a fan favorite. People were like, oh,
wait,
fuck the way Kat broke up with him. Like, he was great.
Okay, cool. Then I'll
wait,
take
that
Ethan.
That was one of the best scenes also. It was so funny.
It was so funny.
Wait, I actually have seen that scene. My friend.
And she was like, I have a brain.
My friend Matt was watching it. And that was the one. It was in a diner. That was the one scene I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was like, it's not something to joke about. And I was like, you can't be fucking serious. And then he said something like, you can't be fucking serious. I was like, oh, yeah.
So funny. Okay, so we have an Ethan, end of season 2 Ethan, a Cassie Moon, Maddie Sun.
Yes.
And a
rising
Lexi.
And
I think
Capricorn Jules.
No, that's okay. We lost it.
Sun June.
I think I have some Cassie in me, but we can talk about that a different pod.
I love Jules too. I could see myself a little.
Okay, guys.
Wait, can I end it on this? Put your podcast away. No. Put your podcast away. I am who I am.
me and my day job.
No.
Literally. Okay, guys. That is a wrap. I hope we all learned something. I know. I definitely learned something.
I did. I mean, I think we could do 10 more.
Oh, my God.
Before.
There's literally
there's
so much
to
say.
But I think we did a really good job at covering the
Well, I appreciate that. before we head out, I wanted to mention to everybody that we also were so excited because this summer we're actually hosting a shows and tell social media marketing internship that's going to be helping out with social media and maybe some partnerships. And if you are of college age and you're interested and you like the pod and you maybe want to come work with us, this is like part-time, send us an email and the email address, and I'll also put this in the description, of the podcast episode. The email address is showsandtellpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a little email with your resume and why you're interested about the position. Any questions that you have, and we will be sure to chat with you. And we're so excited that the team is growing. And we've been doing this for over a year. Like, we put out our first episode March 1st, 2021. So,
no way. Look at us.
Don't also, come. Talia and Juge can't be bribed. I can. I take cookies. Right. I take ice cream and coffee.
Reese has a P.O. box you can send her to.
Literally.
I think I'm the bad cop in the interviews. I'm like,
can I just I don't want to start in any of the interviews, but I want to come in 4 minutes in and just see how they react. Where it's like,
oh wow, I would never let you do that.
No, please. gotta throw. Is it a monkey in the wrench or a wrench?
Yeah, a monkey in the wrench.
So weird.
That's a saying, right?
Sounds yeah.
Or is it like monkey with a wrench?
Yeah. No, I think it's monkey.
But a wrench is like a it's something you hold.
I didn't make it up, Reese.
And that's our cue. Okay, guys, any parting words? Oh, Julia's next. No, wait.
Guys, wait.
Is that true?
I haven't thought about it, but...
Yeah, Julia's next.
Yeah, no, I am next. Wait, should I do inventive?
No, don't do that. That one, that. No, that already like.
Reese, you can't comment on what she wants to do.
That already had like its...
No, but he's right. It might not be relevant in a few years.
That already had its like relevancy and like it's dead already.
Okay, I have to think about it then.
You're gonna look at me and tell me I'm wrong?
I don't like inventing Anna, but a big fat rule of the pod in the pod written rules.
Wait,
that
maybe I'll do
that. You can do whatever you want.
I just like talking about Anna.
I was gonna say, what's it called? This podcast is founded on the idea that we're gonna discuss how your favorite shows got made. Whose favorite show is Inventing Anna?
Have you ever met Julia? Have you ever met her in your life?
Yeah. Jude, can we have vetoes? Because I'm vetoing that.
Okay, well,
do we need to remind you of the Mandalorian, Reese?
Yeah, you guys didn't fucking watch the episode. That doesn't count.
I want a running list of like S&T inside jokes, and I feel like that is at the top of it.
We don't talk about that. You don't get to say the Mandalorian.
Mandalorian's a touchy subject.
You're correct.
It's a touchy subject.
Yeah, Juge. Let's just like real quick rattle off some that you could do.
No, I haven't like thought.
She'll
about
put
it
in her time. I trust her.
We haven't done a reality in a while.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
I've never seen
Well, oh, you know what I'm thinking though, but this won't be for a while. I think I'm going to do a Kardashians part two when the Hulu show comes out.
Yes, perfect.
Oh, that's good. And I think, what's it called? My next one might be a Stranger Things before May, because it comes out end of May.
I love a Stranger Things.
So that one's going to be, that might be it.
I have a few ideas for my next one, but I have to think about it a little further.
Cool. Okay, guys, signing off. If you are starting your day with us, I hope you have a great day. And if you're ending your day with us, I hope your day was shitty.
Bye.
Bye.